Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are talking about the great personality of His Eminence Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi. Yes, it is true that the demise anniversary of Imam Khomeini passed a few days ago and a few weeks ago perhaps, but still we found that the personality and the great persona of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi is so vast and there is so much to talk about that we decided to continue to speak about this great personality of history and this great personality of Islam, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi. In order to talk about Imam Khomeini, we decided to humbly invite Sayyid Muhammad Hashimi from the Islamic Republic of Iran. Let's go ahead and invite him to the talk show and start. Sayyid Hashimi, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the IP talk show.
Thank you very much for having me on this show. Inshallah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us this tawfiq to have a beneficial talk, inshallah.
Inshallah. Thank you, Sayyid Hashimi, again for taking time out. The last time we had the talk show on Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, it was such a exciting and it was such a fruitful talk show that really we found we need to talk more about Imam Khomeini and the different aspects that surround Imam Khomeini, you know, whether it's the religious aspect or the political aspect or, you know, even the historical aspect. I mean, this is such a beautiful personality and the history is so really amazing and there's so much we can learn that we decided to go ahead and continue the discussion on Imam Khomeini. So with that, you know, we pass it on to you in the name of Allah.
Thank you. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala tahirin. You know, one of the interesting things about Imam Khomeini, which may be, you know, causing some misconception for people, is that we know that Imam Khomeini is a man of irfan, a man of spirituality.
Yes.
I recommend all of our brothers and sisters to read two of Imam Khomeini's books.
Yes.
And I can recommend more books, but just these two books. First one in Farsi is called Chehel Hadith, 14 Hadith. Mm-hmm. He interprets the 14s of the Ahadith of Ahlul Bayt. Mm-hmm. And Adab al-Salat, the manners of the prayer. If you look at those books and start to, you know, page by page reading those books, you may think that the person who wrote this book,
yes,
and who's talking to you in this book, he's just an isolated man, you know, in the corner of a mosque, just speaking, you know, just you know, reading the and reciting the supplications and Quran, and hasn't anything to do with the society,
right? Because these books are so deep, they're so profound in spirituality.
Yes, and I didn't mention Sirr al-Salah, because Sirr al-Salah is more difficult
than Adab al-Salah. The secrets of the prayer,
yes. The secrets of the prayer, which is, you know, so complicated that Imam Khomeini had to write Adab al-Salah.
Right.
For the people who, you know, could not, you know, comprehend the depth of the Sirr al-Salah. So it was Imam Khomeini, you know, start with the concept of an-niyyah, the intention in Adab al-Salat. When you look at the conception of the an-niyyah, the concept of an-niyyah, you see that if you want really, you know, if you really want to obey this kind of recommendations of Imam Khomeini in Salat, it would be so hard for you.
Right.
So, and unfortunately, you know, many of our Shia brothers and sisters are deprived from the spiritual teachings of Imam Khomeini.
Yes.
And that is a problem, and we need to talk about this, inshallah, another time. But when you look at this personality, you see that this is exactly the same Imam Khomeini who started to, you know, initiate a movement for more than 15 years in the heart of the society, in the heart of the Middle East, and in the heart of this world.
Yes.
To say that we cannot accept this kind of ruling, we cannot accept this kind of world order, and we will, you know, change everything.
Right.
And he succeeded.
Right. Okay. And so what we're saying is that on face value, superficially, this seems like two very different personalities, two very, you know, disconnected aspects of an individual, right? Yeah. One is this very spiritual, connection with God and connection with the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt, and on the other side, this kind of, for example, brave, standing
active
up,
leader, yeah.
active leader, right, on the ground.
Giving lectures. And, you know, at first, we see this, some contradiction between these two aspects. But you know what is the reason? Mm-hmm. Imam Khomeini tells us. He tells us, if you see any contradiction between these two aspects, it means that you don't know Islam.
Right. It means that you don't know Islam. You haven't understood Islam.
Yes, it's another misconception. Mm-hmm. Like the misconception we talked about, like individualistic Islam, social Islam.
Right.
The
right.
separation between these two. Another kind of misconception is to separate between the spiritual and social life.
Mm-hmm.
Imam Khomeini, you can find this lines of Imam Khomeini in Sahifa al-Nur, the complex of his speeches and sayings. He says that people wanted us to believe that Ahlul Bayt, the prophets, they were just people of supplication and praying mm-hmm. in the corner of the society. They hadn't anything to do with the society.
Right.
But it's wrong. Look at Amir al-Mu'mineen. Look at Rasulullah, what he did. Look at Ibrahim, salamullahi alayhi. Look at Yusuf. Mm-hmm. Look at Musa, alayhi salam. All the line of the prophets.
Yes.
They were struggling so hard to awaken the society.
You know, if I just kind of add a point really quick, what's interesting is, so there's this, I believe it's a tradition that Imam Khomeini relates, where he talks about that the ulama are the warathul anbiya, right? And this is a tradition, right? And so it's a tradition, right?
Yes, it's a tradition.
So this warathul anbiya, they are the inheritors of the ulama, the religious scholars are the inheritors of the messengers of Allah, the divine prophets of the past. And so we were talking with one of our teachers, and this is one of the things that came up. I said, is this only the jurisprudential laws aspect of prophethood? Is this only limited to du'as and the recitation of the Quran and spirituality and these things?
Or the entire lifestyle.
I said, if the religious scholars are to be the inheritors of the messengers of the past, and as you said, Prophet Ibrahim, he stood up against Nimrud. Yeah. Prophet Musa, he stood up against Fir'aun. Yeah. Prophet Yusuf, right? He stood up against this establishment. Even Prophet Isa, peace and blessings upon all of them.
Yes, Romans.
He stood up against this interest and riba and usury and this oppressive. And of course, Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he also stood up against. So as you said, this is a part of the religious scholars, this idea of standing up and taking this social action.
And this is exactly very beautiful, Sayyid. You mentioned this narration. In the book Al-Bayt, Kitab al-Bayt, one of the most famous books of Imam Khomeini, in which Imam Khomeini talked about the theory of Wilayat al-Faqih, when he interprets the narrations like this, Al-Ulama Warathat al-Anbiya, or the narration that says that إِذَا مَاتَ الْعَالِمْ ثُلِمَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ ثُلْمَةُ اللَّهِ يَسُدُّهَا شَيْءٍ. When a scholar, an alim, dies, there will be a hole in Islam that cannot be filled by anything else.
Yes.
Imam Khomeini there, what he says? He says that, what is this hole?
Mm-hmm. This vacuum.
Yes, this vacuum. This is because of the society. Mm-hmm. Because this alim, all the society of mu'mineen were supposed to depend on him in their lives.
Yes.
Okay? So this is why Imam Khomeini says that if we really want to represent Anbiya and Ahlul Bayt, we have to represent them on all aspects.
Very beautiful.
And if you believe that, the path of Islam is the path of spirituality. If you believe in something else, yes, okay. Just tell us loudly and say that I'm not in the path of Islam. This is another way of spirituality. Mm-hmm. But if you really believe in Islam, and if you believe that Islam is the entire teachings of Islam, one of the most important teachings of Islam is what? Is to interfere in the affairs of the society.
Yes.
And if you do so, what happens? If you do so, because we believe that spirituality comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot generate spirituality.
Of course.
We cannot go closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until He permits us. So, how He permits us? How is it possible? By obeying all the laws and regulations and teachings in Islam. Imam Khomeini says, okay, if we look at spirituality like this,
mm-hmm. yes.
we have to change our mindset.
Right.
And stop thinking that spirituality is staying away from all the affairs and problems of the society.
Right.
That is not a spirituality.
It's interesting. I'm sorry. It's interesting because the last time we had our discussion, right, we were talking about the cultural revolution of Imam Khomeini. One of the things that you brought up was that if the religious scholars or if the pious people, or in this case, those who are very spiritually strong, you know, these urafa, let's say, and the ulama, if these guys and these people, they decide to go sit in a corner, then, and this is something you had said previously, this leaves the society, you know, open,
yes.
Right? The people that are supposed to guide go into a corner and they don't guide, then who will the people be guided by?
Evil forces.
Shaitan and evil forces.
Yeah.
Because we have two velaya in Quran. Velayatullah and velayatul shaitan. There is no third velaya.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Velayatullah, velayatul shaitan, as we talked about this.
Yes.
You know, this is the point that Imam Khomeini wants to raise. You know, this is so important. He wants our attention. I said, Imam Khomeini's goal is not just a reform in the political aspect of the society.
Mm-hmm.
No, he wants to awaken people. By what? Mm-hmm. By before adjusting, reforming the mindset of people. So he says that this is Islam. Come back to Islam. And if you come back to Islam, you have the chance of spirituality.
Right.
So in this context, you can understand Sirru Salat. Inshallah, in another session, we will talk about the nurturing of Imam Khomeini, how he trained people, educated people, nurtured people. Imam Khomeini's Sirru Salat, Adabu Salat, you know, 40 ahadith, okay? All of those books and all of those spiritual teachings, they will be meaningful in a tawhidi society.
Yes.
Because in such a society, you are more, you know, more independent, more free, more concentrated.
Sure.
To do what? To have your ilahi and divine intentions.
Right.
To practice and obey the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what prophets wanted to do.
Yes.
This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised us in Quran. وَلَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ
Yes.
Okay. We will put those people as the representatives, okay, of Allah. This society will represent Allah. This is the goal and the purpose of the creation. So Imam Khomeini worked hard to solve and reconcile and show that there is no reconciliation needed here because there is no contradiction.
Right, right.
And you know, through the history, many misconceptions happened for Muslimin and for Shia school of thought, the members of this school. Like we know about the Ash'ara and Mu'tazila.
Right.
Because they got separated from the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, some of them they believed in determination, in Jabr. Some of them believed in the complete free will.
Yeah.
There is no, you know, interference of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, intervention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is just your free will. But when you go back to Quran, you see that there is no absolute free will.
Right.
There is no absolute determination.
Right.
But the history and the problems of the history and the ruthless leaders and other teachings, they started to mix with Islam.
Right.
And give people this kind of conceptions. So Imam Khomeini doesn't say that I'm giving you something new. No.
Mm.
This is Islam of Rasulullah.
Yes,
this is the
pure
original
Muhammadan.
Pure Muhammadan Islam.
Yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead. Well, so Sayyid Hashmi, one thing, because while you were talking about this idea that so Imam Khomeini was trying to bring the people's spirituality and their minds and their rationality and their aql, their logic, all these things back to pure Muhammadan Islam, right? I kind of wanted to ask about the role of government here, right? So for example, Imam Khomeini as a spiritual leader, he could have very easily just go on the pulpit, you know, be a mimbari, as we say in Farsi, and just on the pulpit, talk to the people and leave it at that, you know, hope that the people change. But, and I want to get, you know, your thoughts on this. But here it seems like one of the integral and important aspects of being able to create this utopian, just, free and fair society is that the government also has to be free, fair and just. So if, and this is kind of two opposing things that I'm bringing in now. One is that the people can only reach this prosperity and sa'adat if the government helps them to reach sa'adat. And the other side of this is that if the government is a, you know, let's say non-Islamic government, it does not follow divine laws, then the people will not be able to reach a full potential of prosperity of dunya and akhirah. I mean, I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
You know, say, what is the point? The point is, some people think that we can have neutral governments.
Right, neutral governments. Yes.
Is it possible? Is that happened in France or Germany or UK or US? They will not be neutral. You know, the
Can you explain that a little bit? This
means
neutral
that
aspect.
Some people say, okay, let's have a secular government.
Okay, sure.
Okay, doesn't intervene in any, you know, religious aspect or any other things.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the reality, you see that when you want to practice your religion, okay, especially the most important and pillars of your religion, they will not allow you. In the time of Shah, before Imam Khomeini, before the establishment of the Islamic Revolution, you know, one of the most important issues in the Middle East was what? Was the Israel, the Zionist regime.
Right.
Zionist regime was a problem here. You, as a Muslim, as a Shia, as a person who has to stand against oppression, you wanted to say something against them, not doing anything against them.
Just saying
something. Even less than that, you wanted to collect money for Palestinian refugees, like what Allama Tabatabai did here. They would not allow you.
Yes, well.
They wouldn't even allow you to do what? To collect money for Palestinians, not to talk against Israelis. So, can you practice Islam here?
No, you can't.
This kind of government cannot remain neutral.
It's
in the economic affairs.
Yeah, yeah.
Can it stay neutral? It cannot.
Yeah.
When you want to talk against, you know, the lines and the pillars of the, you know, social aspect of the society, the cultural aspect, economical aspect, you know, in all those aspects, when you just, you know, come to the red lines of any government, they will stop you.
Yeah.
Like in France.
Yeah.
In France, you cannot have hijab in public places.
I wanted to bring
this
up.
Why? Hijab is not... What is hijab?
Right. It's not even
a... They say that it's a piece of, you know, a scarf on the head of Muslim women.
Yeah.
But they don't allow you to do that. Why? Because it conveys a message.
Right.
You know, hijab is not just a hijab. It's not just covering your head. You are saying something. What are you saying as a Muslim woman in France? You are saying that you cannot put a line and separate religion from society.
Mm-hmm.
And they dislike it.
And they dislike it.
And they prevent it from happening.
Right.
And it's very simple. You know, it's not a big deal. You're not going to, you know, implement the Sharia law in Paris.
Yeah.
You're just doing what? Practicing covering your head.
Yeah.
Nothing more. People, they have, you know, people have, you know, free demonstrations and rallies supporting LGBT.
Yeah.
But you cannot have your hijab. So, it is not just in those countries, even in Islamic countries with a very heavy religious background. When the political system is not based on truth, it will stop the truth, you know, sooner or later. And it was really what happened in the time of Shah. You know, there were some festivals in Shiraz before the revolution, Islamic revolution. They would, you know, find Muslim Shia women, daughters, young daughters, and they would got naked in Shiraz for those festivals. Why? Because they wanted to tell the world that we are modernized.
Yeah, unfortunately.
We are, you know, we are so welcoming about your ideas and thoughts. Could you stop them? You, as a spiritual leader on your pulpit, could you stop them? Never. It was so hard. Yes, you had some influences. You could do something.
Right.
But after all, it was a very little impact on the society. So Imam Khomeini, when he started to, you know, reform, change the whole thing, he wanted to say that the whole establishment must be based on truth.
Yes.
And it cannot, because, you know, who deserved more to do that? Rasulullah.
Yes.
Rasulullah could leave the society to the mushrikeen. And Rasulullah was a very beautiful,
Muballigh.
High-ranked, yes, a spiritual leader of all times. Okay, he is the best man and best creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he didn't do so. Amir al-Mu'minin, after 25 years, many people, even the adversaries and enemies of Amir al-Mu'minin, they would believe in his spirituality, in his worshipping, in his greatness. The only problem was what? They didn't want him as the political leader.
Yeah.
Okay. That was the problem.
So talking about, again, bringing it back to this, as you had said, this individual and societal aspect, or how Imam Khomeini within himself, he brought, spirituality along with this idea of being active, standing up and resisting. He brought these things in within himself, right? But then he also implemented it on society as well, and the government. So please continue, you were talking about
that. We have a concept, very beautiful question. We have a concept called Al-Bi'tha.
Mm-hmm. You know? Bi'tha.
Yes. In the book, I refer to that book, Tarikh al-Din al-Islami. Imam Khomeini talks about the concept of al-bi'sa. What does al-bi'sa mean? It's a, some kind of revolution in your soul.
In Farsi, they say, I think, barangiftagi.
Yes, it's some kind of inspiration, some kind of revolution inside you. Okay? There he says that bi'sat happened for Prophet himself before it happens for the society. This is exactly what happened for Imam Khomeini.
It happened for himself before it can happen to society.
He was a student of Ayatollah Shah Abadi and some great people. He was a great. He tried so hard for spirituality in his young age. And in the same time, he would follow the political issues in the society. In that time, he would go to Sayyid Mudarris, Ayatollah Mudarris Rahmatullah Alayhi, the great shaheed and great person. Who tried so hard for the freedom and justice in the Iran society. This kind of person, even Shahid Mutahari, he has a beautiful statement in his book. I think, if I'm not mistaken, yes, Elari Gerayesh be Maddi Gari, one of his best books.
The reasons for the Gerayesh, the going towards Maddi Gari materialism. Yes.
I think there is an English translation for that book. In the introduction of that book, or the book Insan-ı Sarnavesht, one of these two books, he says, I think it's Insan-ı Sarnavesht, The Man and the Destiny. He says that I had a Ustad-ı Akhlaq, a spiritual ethics teacher, that he had a dars, a lesson, dars-ı Akhlaq, ethics lesson, on Mondays. When I participated in those classes, whenever I joined those classes, the effect of those classes would remain with me for days after that.
Wow, mashallah.
And this is Mutahhari. He's not a ordinary person. Yeah. He says he was so big, tremendous effect of Imam Khomeini. Even when Shahid Mutahhari went to France to visit Imam Khomeini when Imam was exiled, and he was in France, he said that I went there and I saw a man who believed in himself, in the people, and in his path. And no one can make him refrain from, doing what he has intended to do. So Imam Khomeini had a, great spiritual personality.
Right.
And this helped people, and this helped that, the whole society. They would look at him. Yes, you could, witness the tears on the eye and the faces of people who came to Imam Khomeini when he entered Iran. In every lecture, in every, gathering, when they met Imam Khomeini, it was like a divine personality, someone higher than the angels that is coming here.
Yes,
and this is interesting. We don't have any trace of this kind of government in our history, near history.
Yeah, right.
We don't have something like that. People would cry. People would, yearn to come and visit him.
Yes.
Many of people, their pride is that they say, our parents and grandfather and grandmother, that we got to see him.
Once. We got to see him.
Yeah.
Sayyid, so here I wanted to bring it back to the original subject that we were talking about, towards the end of the talk show, really. And that is this idea of which was our initial question, was how can an individual who has this kind of great spirituality, right? How can this kind of an individual, be somebody who is so courageous, who is not afraid of going to jail, who's not afraid of torture, who's not afraid of the secret services of his own country, the Taghuti government of his era. Not only that, he's not afraid of these world superpowers whom, whole countries are afraid of, not let alone one human being, right? It's interesting, we go from superpower back down to on an individual level. The policeman who came to arrest Imam Khomeini, he was shaking. And Imam Khomeini was the one who told him that you don't need to be afraid. And Imam Khomeini, Allah bless him, he was the one being arrested. I mean, how are these two things, as we say in Farsi, qabli jam, how can these two things, coincide with one another?
Let's answer this question according to Allah Ta'ala. Okay.
Very nice.
In Tafsir al-Mizan, and I think Imam Khomeini represents this concept of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala as well represents that. In al-Mizan, he says that this is the spirituality.
This is the spirituality.
Yes, this is. Sometimes you say that, how can a person be spiritual and have courage? And has courage. But I, forward this question to the person that, is there any difference? Because what is this spirituality? Spirituality means you deny everything but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spirituality is ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. The reality of ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. So, if you are Khomeini, Sayyid Ruhullah al-Musab al-Khomeini, when you are depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when you really believe that ashhadu an la ilaha, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you believe in that by your heart, not just by your tongue, if you believe in that, why should you be afraid of anyone else? Can he harm you? No. Without the permission of Allah? No. Can he give you any benefit? No. فَلَا نَاصِرَ لَهُ in Quran we have. No one can help you or harm you without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, okay, leave everything to Allah. So you will not be afraid of anyone. You will not be terrified. Yes. You will not commit any sin. You will be courageous. Why? Because you see that all those powers are nothing. It's so important to understand that they are nothing. إِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. The power, the all power, the all dignity is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyid, a person like me just recites this verse, sometimes with a beautiful voice, okay? But believing is not reciting. Believing is not understanding. He believed in all verses of Quran. So he really was like a person, okay, you want to kill me, kill me. So what's the problem? This is not the entire life of me. So I'm not afraid. But they were afraid. Why? Why? Because they could not depend on a superpower. And they thought that this power that they have, this establishment, this government, this is all what they've got. Okay? So if a person like Khomeini comes and takes everything away from them, they will have nothing. So it was right. They had to be terrified from Imam Khomeini. And the same goes with the superpowers of this world. They are afraid because all they have is this power that they've got here in this world. But a person like Imam Khomeini and his followers and his sincere companions, they were not afraid of anything. And it wasn't just Imam Khomeini. Shahid Beheshti was like him. Imam Khomeini was like him. Shahid Mutahhari was like him. Shahid Mufattih was like him. The greatness of Imam Khomeini was that he was not alone. He was able to train people like himself, or close to himself, and inshallah, I will talk about that.
Inshallah. Sayyid Hashimi, thank you so much for the beautiful, very fruitful, profound discussion, alhamdulillah, that we had. May Allah bless you, and inshallah, we hope to see you on another Islamic inshallah. Pulse talk show. Jazakallah khair wa afiyah. And dear viewers, thank you very much for joining us on the talk show where we were talking about Imam Khomeini, may Allah bless him, and his complete personality, a personality that had great heights of spirituality, but also had great heights of courage. With that, we leave you, and until another talk show, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.